Ready? Well, good morning, everyone. And it's lovely to have Jade and Claudia with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. And as you all know, we're doing testimonies this month, and today is mine. it's way too long, so I'm going to try and ad lib as I go. Just to say, Rita's not able to join us today. She has an infection in her leg and she's on antibiotics, but she hasn't felt too great with it. So sadly, she's not with us. Hopefully, Deborah's coming because we want to sing happy birthday. Oh gosh, yes, of course she has. Yeah, she's doing the reading. Right, anyway, so let's pray and let's begin. Lord Jesus, thank you for the peace that you bring. Thank you that we can come into this place, possibly an unlikely place, but a wonderful place to witness to your name. So we come here today, Jesus, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. And we thank you this morning for Jade and Claudia joining us. We thank you for this family who meets here each week. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for new life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you guide me as I speak today? Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Still no Deborah as yet, but we can fit it in at some point. But let's say good morning to Jean and Stuart, who are unable to be with us, and Sarah Jane, and anyone else? Pardon? Your dad. Oh, and hi to John, of course, Bruce's dad, who can't be with us. And also today we want to remember Fred Stapleton, friend of Bruce's and perhaps known to others here. His wife passed away just this week, Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah. So we pray for Fred and his family as they now prepare for her Thanksgiving. And we pray for him and the family over the coming weeks and months. So, no sign of Deborah, so I think we'll get on with our first song. So, as I've said the last couple of weeks, I've chosen a lot of my favourite songs during the testimonies, and really sort of giving glory to God and showing exactly what Jesus has done in our lives. So, excuse me. So this morning we're going to sing In Christ Alone, and I was blessed to be at Stoneleigh Bible Week when they launched this in 2001, and it's been one of my favourites ever since. And it says, In Christ alone my hope is found, he is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm.
In Christ alone. Yeah.
So welcome, Deborah. And Deborah is having a birthday today. And so we're going to sing happy birthday because we're family. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Deborah. Happy birthday to you.
Sorry, I forgot to turn that down. That's a friend phoning me.
Of course. Oh, so we celebrate your day of creation. Right, so we're going to sing Jesus, We Enthrone You, and this is a song that was new when I came to Jesus, so I felt it needed to be in there this morning. So Jesus, we enthrone you, we proclaim you our King, standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise.
Is or should be believing prayer, because we believe that God loves to hear that prayer and does indeed answer them. He answers them in according to His will. So let us pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer and the privilege it is to us. We are able to come to you any time, and you are always ready to hear our prayer. May we desire to use prayer to strengthen our relationship with you, both as a church and as individuals. We bring our ministry to you. May we always seek to accept your leadership. And we thank you because you are our rock, our strength, our wisdom, and our guide. You are our God of love. In fact, of your love, there is no equal. We pray that your presence and your love will reach all people, leaders, teachers, healers, carers, and all people worldwide. May they be encouraged to listen to you, to learn all about you and your redeeming. May we do all that we can to bring people to you so that your kingdom will be extended and all the world will be filled with your love and your peace. And we pray, Lord, at this time in the world for peace. We pray for the situation between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, we ask that you would protect Ukraine and give them, Lord, the need, the help that they need at this time. And we pray that those who would be attacking them might be brought down and be quiet. And want to be a nation in peace. Finally, we bring to you those of our wider family who need special care at this time. We think of John, he was in the world. You know how he feels. Be with Helen, Lord. She needs you too. Be with Stuart and Jean. Be with Sarah Jane. Lord, we know that they will be listening to the service, and we pray that you would be their friend, their healer, their companion. We pray for Rita. Not well, she cannot come today. Well, and for any others that we know who would like to know you and like to receive answers to their prayers. We also want to welcome Jade and Claudia. We thank you, Lord, that they've come to join us today. And we pray, Lord, that their family and their friends will find in the coming weeks all that they need as far as praying and serving you. Bless them and meet them at their need. Bless us in our ministry. Open many new doors so that we might be where you want us to be and doing what you want us to do. And Lord, as certain officers of the council and of Torbay generally are preparing for a new centre for us to meet in, Lord, we pray that you would bless all that is happening in that way. But Lord, we also pray that you would bless our ministry here because that will continue. You will have a center for other activities also. So, Lord, we bring all this to you, and we ask that you would help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to share your love with others. Help us to be your true disciples. Lord, hear our prayer. Let our cry come unto you, Lord. We pray in the wonderful and the loving name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. We also pray for the children
as well, because they're unwell, aren't they? So, yeah, we pray that they'll soon be well. And we wanted to mention also Bruce's friend Rachel. We wanted to just acknowledge how well she's doing. She's had some struggles in the past and she's doing really well now. So we give glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to sing, "Here is a love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood."
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Through his love we'll not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. We can fountains open deep and wide, through the flood gates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice
Deborah and Graham are going to do the readings that I've chosen. I managed to get it down to two.
The first reading that Gillies chose this morning is from Luke 24, verses 36 to 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great glory, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Amen.
The second reading Gillies has chosen is Romans 3, verses 21 to 26. "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of an atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies who have faith in Jesus."
Amen.
Thank you both for those wonderful readings. So we're going to sing "Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again."
Poured out to death.
And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And Lord, I pray that my testimony will be a witness to your name and not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I was born in Beckenham in Kent in 1954 into a lovely family unit. My parents, my big sister Carolyn, and me. I went to Sunday school at the age of three at the local High Anglican Church, St. James's, where I had been christened as a baby. My sister, who was 5 and a half, came too. We had a wonderful teacher called Miss Fry, who I was privileged to be in a house group with many years later. It was here that I heard all the wonderful Bible stories, which were to be my grounding for later in life. In 1961, we moved house to a couple of miles away. Thankfully, although we had to change Sunday schools to go to our new local church, St. George's, my next door neighbour Brian was the Sunday school teacher. And I was happy there. I also attended Brownies and became a Sixer, a leader of the Imps group, very aptly named, and of course Bruce's group was called the Imps, later joining the Guides. In 1965, I was 11 and now old enough to join the AYPA, the Anglican Young People's Association, basically the church youth group. This was also run by Brian, my next door neighbour. It wasn't long before I was asked to be on my first committee, still at the tender age of 11. In September 1966, I started a selective secondary school. In other words, for those who had failed the 11 plus but had potential. I made up my mind to make a real effort to succeed. But 3 weeks into my first term at the new school, I went off to Guides on the Friday night as usual. Returning home from Guides, my mother asked me to come and sit in the lounge. I could see that my sister had been crying. Then she told me that my father had left us to live with someone else. I was completely in shock and ran to the front door to get air. My mother thought I was running away. Words cannot describe the devastation that this caused to us all. Life was never the same again in my growing up years. Get making an effort to succeed at school. In those days, there wasn't the support around for children in this situation. There was another youth group at my old church, so in 1968, I decided to try it out. We had a wonderful youth leader called Michael, who was the curate at the church. He really invested time into us. Youth group was on a Monday night, but on a Friday night, he and his wife used to host us at their home for tea and Jaffa cakes, which kept us off the streets. And most of us were confirmed together that year. So I was then back attending the High Church. It was a big church and the youth group were put in the side aisle out of the way. Sadly for us, the curate and his wife left to go to New Guinea to be missionaries. The youth group only went up to 14 years old, so one by one, my friends left the church and moved on to other things. I attended church on my own for some time, but I missed a Sunday. If I missed a Sunday, the new curate would ask me where I was the week before. I stopped going to church at 15. I continued to believe in Jesus, but never understood that my relationship with him was for this life. I just thought that I would meet him in heaven. With my low concentration span, I'd somehow missed this teaching in the confirmation classes. Or maybe they didn't teach it. I certainly don't remember teaching about the Holy Spirit, apart from making the sign of the cross at the altar and saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, without the security of the youth group and Michael's house on a Friday night, I progressed to hanging out at the Wimpy Bar, later followed by the Three Tuns Pub. School was a non-event. At 15, I went to secretarial school for 2 years, so I can honestly say that my first 2 years of schooling and my last 2 years were the only worthwhile education that I received. I was even made head girl over the secretarial and the grammar school. It's not who you know. No, it is who you know. One of my most important jobs was making tea for the staff. But more importantly, I remember being asked to read a passage from the Bible in assembly, and I wrote a little intro to the reading. I know now that the Lord's hand was always on me. I got engaged at 18, but broke it off, realizing that I was too young to get married, and for 7 years I went my own sweet way in relationships, binge drinking, and swearing. Thankfully, the Lord, who is all-knowing and the Alpha and the Omega, had different plans for me. And in 1980, when I was 25, Robert, who had been living in Holland, came to work at the graphic supplies branch that I was repping out of in Beckenham. And we became an item, as the saying goes. This calmed me down. Thankfully, that got rid of the dodgy relationships and the binge drinking. But sadly, the swearing was part of the office banter and was still in my vocabulary. We were blessed to work with a couple of Christians, Denise and Patrick, who invited us to dinner, and the conversation turned to their church. The church was called Down and Christian Fellowship and was about 20 minutes from my home. They were talking about people speaking in tongues, which I had never heard of in my previous high Anglican church. They invited us to join them the next Sunday to see and hear what they were talking about. We absolutely loved it. We met at 9:30 a.m. for worship, followed by the talk, followed by coffee and fellowship until about 1 p.m. I can't remember now exactly what the teaching was, but I knew for sure that Jesus had died for my sins and that I was indeed a sinner. After 3 weeks of going to the church, Denise asked me if I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. I definitely did and asked her how. She suggested that I simply asked him. So 44 years ago, in August 1981, almost to this day, I prayed, "Jesus, come into my heart." And what a wonderful day that was. And as you all know from my repetitive prayers, I have been thankful to Jesus ever since. I also stopped swearing overnight as the Holy Spirit began an immediate work in me. I had a completely different view on life. Robert and I continued to attend Down and Christian Fellowship until just before Christmas that year. But then thought it would be nice to walk to our local church, St. George's, for the midnight service. This was where I'd gone to Sunday School Junior Church for 7 years after our house moved. We were welcomed with open arms as a young couple and made the decision to keep going there and get involved in the community. Unfortunately, that meant lots of committee meetings. Robert and I married at St. George's in January 83, and God had provided the church cottage for us, a 3-bedroom Victorian house for £10 per week rent. In return, I took care of the church hall bookings, and Robert was the verger for weddings and also cleaned up after the wedding receptions. Sure, he remembers that well. In February 1984, we were blessed by the birth of our son Dominic, and in April 1987, by the birth of our daughter Lizzie. For a time, I was the deputy church warden at St. George's, but then we moved in 1987 to our first owned property, a 1.5-bedroom flat in Addiscombe. For some time, we commuted back to St. George's, but then made the decision to go to the local church, St. Martin's, sorry, in 1989. Robert at this time worked on a Sunday morning while it was quiet in the office. Although we had made wonderful lifelong relationships at St. George's, I realised that I had become spiritually dry and was pleased to be at St. Martin's with a very good teacher whose wife organised a trip to Spring Harvest, and I was introduced to worshipping with 10 others thousand others, and wonderful teaching. I organised the next trip the following year. I set up a parent and toddler babies group at St Martin's, but then the church was closed and we amalgamated with St Mary's up the road in 1993. In the meantime, we had moved to a three-bedroom house a few streets away. While at St Mary's, I joined the music dance group and also led worship for the children before they went into their Sunday school classes, using backing tracks from Spring Harvest kids' cassettes. In 1996, I took a sabbatical from St Mary's, as after a few precious hours at a retreat centre, I believed that the Lord was saying, "Stop being so busy and spend time with me." It was a wonderful 6 months of reading the Word and listening to the Lord and going camping with the family, which on one occasion took us to Slapton Sands. I had felt a strong calling from the Lord to move to Devon. Whilst we were there, we went to a beach service led by Niall Walsh and his team. Some were from North London and some from Morden in Surrey. They had been knocking doors to evangelise in East Prawle and sleeping on the floor in Torcross Chapel. Having discovered that Niall lived in Morden and we lived in Addiscombe, we met up on our return and started going to Niall's Saturday evening grace teachings. The Saturday evening meetings had been a real eye-opener for Robert and I, especially meeting the homeless lads that Niall had taken under his wing, who struggled with life but had a real faith in Jesus. We realised that we had lost our first love and forgotten where we had come from. I'm going to see if I can move on. So there's a great chunk there that I haven't time to edit, but suffice to say, we ended up moving to Devon with Niall and setting up the Well Fellowship. We had, we could really see the Lord at work in all of that, but there was quite a lot leading up to it. But Robert was now doing home improvements, and within a day of us moving into a house in the same cul-de-sac as Niall in Chillington, another gift from God, Robert was asked to decorate the dining room of a lady in a local church, and the work kept coming. So 7 years after feeling called to Devon, here we were, and the Lord continued to provide for our needs, both with our home and work. Oh gosh, I don't know where we are now. Oh dear. So, just briefly, Lizzie and I went to Ghana and had a wonderful time there where I was asked to speak to the Sunday school, and then I was asked to go to a church, and suddenly realised on the way they were probably going to be asking me to preach as I was the guest there, which I did, and it was fine because I just read out the whole of John 4 and gave a few thoughts about the woman at the well and why our fellowship was called the Well. And then we'd gone with a lady to Ghana who led a project called Adamasa, and sadly she passed away, and so I've felt a real strong calling from the Lord to put on a concert in her honour, and it was to give glory to God as we talked about the work of Adamasa. It was to remember Rosemary and how she had followed God's calling, and to be all inclusive, allowing every child who auditioned to be a part of it, and for raising funds for the work. And that continued for about four concerts. So, well, I should mention that in 2007, I joined Bruce here, running the children's club at Dartmouth Baptist Church, and we ran holiday clubs there. And then I'm just going to finish, because it will make more sense. We're going to have to do this again so I can do all the bits I left out. Trying to find the last page. Oh dear. No, I've lost it. You said I should number them, didn't you? I wasn't expecting this to happen. Do you know what? I'm not going to bother with that. So in a moment, we're going to do a song that I wrote. That's another blessing that the Lord's given me, is that I've written 10 songs. And this is the latest one. And this is the first time it's been done in public. We did it at our house group last night. But I wanted to thank Richard, because although I've written all the lyrics, he wrote the music to 3 of them, and he's played guitar on them, he's sung on them, and he's also produced and arranged them. So thank the Lord for getting him to do all that and for his giftings. So that was a very potted version of 70 Years, but just to say that I've seen the Lord move in my life. And there are times when you're not necessarily seeing it so obviously. What I wanted to bring out in that was how he has moved in my life, and to give him the glory. Amen.
Put Jilly's songs together and record them for her within a couple of months anyway. This one's taken over 2.5 years. I've finally finished it yesterday morning, and we sang it yesterday evening, so I'm just very pleased to be able to do that for Jilly, because she'd been waiting patiently for so long. So.
Jesus.
me is a very lovely invitation to the Lord's table. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. This is the table, not of the church or of the pub, but the table of the Lord. It is to be ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So we come not because it is I who invite you, it is the Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Look, here is the table, spread out as for a feast, bread for breaking and wine poured out for drinking, signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken and his love and his blood poured out. He is not dead, he is risen and present among us, evidence of God's grace and promise. So, we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey. Some of us fresh and eager, others might be weary or in need of nourishment. All of us are, I am sure, conscious of our failings. And so we come. We come now. Don't hesitate. The table is ready. And is the Lord himself that invites you. So you break bread as Jesus did when he met with his disciples. You remember his body broken for us. And as we receive the bread, as it is said to us, we eat it then, but as the wine is served to us, we hold it until we're all served, so that we may drink together. If you would take the bread and be grateful. Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you and for me. We are going to drink together when we are all served the grail I would like you to say." Thank you. Jesus shed his blood for us. He died that we might be forgiven. What a wonderful Saviour we have. This is just a symbol, but it's a precious symbol because it reminds us of all that he's done and history for us. So let us drink together. God be the glory. Great things he has done for us.
Amen.
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 Right, so we're going to finish with another of my favourites, Come People of the Risen King. We love doing this one out on the streets of Torquay.
Come all and tune your hearts to sing.
Hallelujah! Oh, I was a bit, I was sick.